funny thing about mothers and fathers. Even when their own child is the most disgusting little blister you could ever imagine, they still think that he or she is wonderful. Some parents go further. They become so blinded by adoration, they manage to convince themselves their child has qualities of genius.
Vanessa is a natural musician. Of course, she's playing by ear alone.
If I were that girl's teacher, I would enjoy writing her end-of-term report. It would go something like this. It is a curious truth that grasshoppers have their hearing organs in the sides of the abdomen. Your daughter Vanessa, judging by her progress this term, has no hearing organs at all. I could go further. Your daughter Vanessa has the same glacial beauty as an iceberg, but unlike the iceberg, she has absolutely nothing below the surface. Oh yes, I can be quite lyrical when I want to be, but enough of that. We have to get on. Occasionally, one comes across parents who take the opposite line, who show no interest at all in their children. And these, of course, are far worse than the doting ones. Allow me to introduce you to the Wormwoods. Mr. Wormwood.
That's me. Who wants to know?
Mr. Wormwood is a small, ratty-looking man whose front teeth stick out underneath a thin, ratty moustache.
Boy, watch it!
He is, not unsurprisingly, a second-hand car dealer.
Honest as the day is long, I am. I've got a lovely little motor, just in. Nothing on the clock. One careful lady owner. Good as new, I'm telling you.
And if you believe that, you'll believe anything. Then there's Mrs. Wormwood.
All the fours. 44. Cock and N, number 10. Me and you, number 2. Yes! Yes!
Mrs. Wormwood is hooked on bingo and plays it 5 nights a week. She is a large woman.
Voluptuous.
Her hair is dyed platinum blonde.
How dare you? This is my natural colour.
She has one of those unfortunate bulging figures where the flesh appears to be strapped in all around the body to prevent it from falling out.
Well, now you've gone too far. Harry, did you hear that?
What can I tell you? Sometimes the truth hurts. So there we have the Wormwoods. Is there a fly in here?
No, it's me.
Oh yes, I'd almost forgotten about you. Mr. and Mrs. Wormwood have a son, Michael.
I like cars and planes and sweets.
We've got the gist. It's the sister. The sister I'm really interested in. Now, the sister is going to make your eyes pop.
Matilda?
Yes, Matilda. Of course, Matilda. Matilda is not a run-of-the-mill sort of girl. Let me give you some background on Matilda. By the age of 1 1/2, her speech was perfect, and she knew as many words as most grown-ups.
A is for anathema, B is for bastardise, C is for capitulate, D is for daring do.
Oh, she's a noisy chatterbox, that one.
In my humble opinion, children should be seen and not heard.
By the time she was 3, Matilda had taught herself to read. By the age of 4, she could read fast and well, and she began hankering after books.
We don't have any books.
There's my easy cooking in the kitchen.
Which Matilda read from cover to cover and even learnt all the recipes by heart.
For deviled eggs, you require 1 dozen eggs, mustard, preferably from Dijon, mayonnaise...
But we don't want devil's eggs. We'll have eggs the normal way, thank you very much.
Soon, Matilda tires of her recipes and decides that it is time for something more interesting.
Daddy, do you think you can buy me a book?
A book? What do you want a flaming book for?
To read, Daddy.
What's wrong with the telly, for heaven's sake? We've got a lovely plasma widescreen. Now you come asking for a book. You're getting spoiled, my girl.
Now, it was the case that nearly every weekday afternoon, Matilda was left alone in the house. Her brother, who was older...
5 years older.
Please do stop interrupting me, child. Michael was at school. Her father went to work, and did I mention that her mother liked bingo?
Peek-a-boo, number 2. Dancing Queen, 17.
Yes, I rather think I did, didn't I? Anyway, she played it every afternoon in a town 8 miles away. On the afternoon of the day that her father had refused to buy her a book, Matilda set out by herself to walk to the public library in the village.
to knock. You're open. There's nobody there.
Down here.
Heavens, you're very small.
And you are very tall.
Thank you. It is a great advantage in my line of work. I rarely require the assistance of a ladder. Might I ask how old you are, child?
I am 4 years and 3 months.
And where is your mother?
Aylesbury. My name is Matilda Wormwood, and I wondered if I might sit a while and read a book.
You're most welcome. Come in.
Where are the children's books, please?
They're over there on those lower shelves. Would you like me to help you find a nice one with lots of pictures in it?
No, thank you. I'm sure I can manage.
So off she goes to choose a book. Whilst Matilda is choosing, if I might bring Mrs. Phelps in at this point, you remember Matilda well, Mrs. Phelps?
Oh, yes.
You're too far away. Bit closer to the mic. No, don't stoop. I'll raise it up.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Loud and clear. So, Matilda.
Oh, I shall never forget Matilda. She came in every afternoon, see? And she would go and sit quietly in the corner, devouring book after book. She had the most tremendous appetite for books that I have ever encountered in someone under 4 feet tall. I must admit, she fascinated me. I used to sit and watch her. We didn't talk. It is a library, after all. But I used to look forward to her arriving, count the hours before she arrived even. Then one day, a few weeks after she first knocked on my door, I noticed she had wandered from the children's section, and I seized the opportunity to engage her in a conversation. Can I help you, Matilda?
I finished all the children's books.
My goodness.
I'm wondering what to read next.
But truly you don't read the books, Matilda. You look at the pictures.
Oh, no. I read them as well.
But you've not yet started school. Who taught you to read?
I taught myself.
I see. So what did you make of all these books that you've read?
Some were very poor, but others were lovely.
Yes.
I liked The Secret Garden best of all. It was full of mystery.
What sort of mystery?
The mystery of the room behind the closed door and the mystery of the garden behind the big wall.
Well. And what sort of book would you like to read next?
I would like to read a really good one the grown-ups read, a famous one. But I don't know any names.
You see, this was when I knew I was in the presence of greatness. Greatness that had been thrust upon me. In all my years as a librarian, nothing like this had ever happened before. I mean, I pride myself on my knowledge of the stock, of being able to direct my readers to new authors, new experiences, open new vistas for them. But we are talking about a brilliant mind here, and a mind as yet unformed. The responsibility was huge. I knew I must take my time. I knew the choice was crucial. But how does one choose a famous grown-up book for a 4-year-old child? My first thought was to pick a young teenager's romance of the kind that is written for 15-year-old schoolgirls. But then something told me not to linger in the pre-adult section. I walked straight on past archaeology and antiques, past birds and beasts. I cut through biographies and bypassed health. In short, I walked straight to classics. And there it was, staring me in the face. It almost flew off the shelf at me. There was the book that I knew I must choose for this infant prodigy. Aha! Try this. It's very famous and very good. If it's too long for you, just let me know and I shall find something shorter and a bit easier.
Great Expectations by Charles Dickens. Oh, I should love to try it.
Of course you may try it. The rational part of my mind told me I was quite mad. The child was only 4 years old, for heaven's sake. But for the next few afternoons, I could not take my eyes from her as she sat in the big armchair at the far end of the room with the book on her lap.
Excuse me. you have the latest Jackie Collins?
Shh! No talking, please.
But
can't you see I'm concentrating? Matilda had to rest it on her lap because it was too heavy for her to hold, which meant she had to sit forward in order to read. It must have been quite uncomfortable for her, but I have never seen such absorption. This little dark-haired creature sitting there with her feet nowhere near touching the floor, totally wrapped up in the wonderful adventures of Pip and old Miss Havisham. It was a cruelty, it really was, to interrupt her each day. It's 10 to 5, Matilda.
Oh, 5 more minutes, please, Mrs. Phelps.
I shall see you tomorrow, young lady. And tomorrow came, and the next day, and within a week she had finished it. All 411 pages.
I loved it. Has Mr. Dickens written any others?
A great many. Shall I choose you another?
Oh, yes, please.
Let me see. Oh, but Matilda, my dear, I've been meaning to ask you. Does your mother walk you down here every day and collect you at the end of the day?
She doesn't know I come here.
But surely that's not right.
She doesn't encourage reading books. Neither does my father. They would prefer me to mooch around and watch telly.
I see. Now, here we are. Nicholas Nickleby. That should keep you occupied.
And so on it went, through Dickens and then onto the Brontes and then dear Jane Austen. I couldn't keep her from Pride and Prejudice a moment longer. And then a dose of tragedy from Mr. Thomas Hardy. Oh, Gone to Earth by Mary Webb, a wild card I threw in just to mix things up, you know. Kim by Rudyard Kipling, and then on to the Americans. Mr. Hemingway and poor old Mr. Steinbeck.
Mr. Hemingway says a lot of things I don't understand, especially about men and women. But I loved it all the same. The way he tells it, I feel I am right there on the spot watching it all happen.
A fine writer will always make you feel that, Matilda. And don't worry about the bits you don't understand. Sit back and allow the words to wash around you like music.
I will.
You know, I've often asked myself why I didn't make a great fuss and shout the news of this infant prodigy all over the village. But then I think it is the discipline of my calling. Reading is an intimate pleasure. Not for me, these new-fangled book clubs. One is never alone when one has a good book. Besides, I have long since discovered that it is seldom worthwhile getting too attached to other people's children. That is not to say that I did not take great pleasure in choosing books for Matilda, but I began to realise that I was neglecting my other readers. Besides, Matilda did not need me anymore.
Matilda, did you know that public libraries like this allow you to borrow books and take them home?
I didn't know that. Could I do it?
Of course. When you have chosen the book you want, bring it to me so I can make a note of it. And it's yours for 2 weeks. You can take more than one if you wish.
And so I set her free. Not without regret, but with enormous pride. And I still saw her every 2 weeks.
What is it today, Matilda?
The Fairy Queen by Edmund Spenser.
Ah, poetry. Very good. We are branching out.
It's about time. I am 5 next week.
And so let our story commence proper. Matilda's small bedroom becomes her reading room. The books transport her into new worlds and introduce her to amazing people who live exciting lives, which is just as well, because the world within her house is a hostile one for our Matilda.
Sawdust is one of the great secrets of my success, and it costs me nothing.
I don't see how sawdust can help you to sell second-hand cars, Daddy.
That's because you're an ignorant little twit.
You must be very clever to find a use for something that costs nothing. I wish I could do it.
You couldn't. You're too stupid. But Michael, my boy, seeing as you're going to be joining me in the business one day, It's probably about time I taught you a few tricks of the trade, eh, Sonny Jim?
What? Put your cars away and eat your tea, Michael.
Listen up, lad.
What, Daddy?
I'd buy a car dirt cheap. The gears are rattling, the clutch is shot, it's virtually a write-off. Then, all I'd do is I'd mix a lot of sawdust with the oil in the gearbox, and it runs sweet as a nut. This cod and parsley sauce is lovely, Mrs. Huh. You've excelled yourself.
Oil in the bag. Good for the brain, fish.
Daddy, how long will the car run like that before it breaks down?
About 100 mile. Long enough for the buyer to get a good distance away.
But that's dishonest, Daddy.
No one ever got rich being honest. Customers are there to be diddled. You listen to me, Michael.
Pass me the remote, Matilda.
Michael.
What?
The next trick of the trade is the mileage wangle. You take a car with 150,000 on the clock. No one's going to buy it with a mileage like that. And these days you can't even take the speedometer out and fiddle with it like you used to be able. So, what do? I use my brains, laddie. That's what I do.
What?
Well, the speedometer is run off a cable that is coupled up to one of the front wheels. So, first, I disconnect the cable where it joins the front wheel. Next, I get one of those high-speed electric drills and I couple that up to the end of the cable in such a way that when the drill turns, it turns the cable backwards. You following me, Michael?
Think so.
Now, these drills run at a tremendous speed. So, when I switch on the drill, the mileage numbers on the speedo spin backwards at a fantastic rate. I can knock 50,000 off the clock in a few minutes. By the time I've finished, the car's only done 10. Nearly new she is, madam. That's what I say.
Cool. Oh, he should have blooming banked. I would have banked.
Trade secrets, these are, Michael. Keep it to yourself. You don't want me ended up in jug, do you?
I won't tell a soul, Daddy. Do you do this to many cars?
Every single car that comes through my hands. It's made me a mint.
But, Daddy, that's even more dishonest than the sawdust. It's disgusting. You're cheating people who trust you.
Who the heck do you think you are? Archbishop of Canterbury? You're just an ignorant little squirrel, hasn't the foggiest idea what you're talking about.
You've got a nerve talking to your father like that. Now keep your nasty mouth shut so we can all watch this programme in peace. And eat your tea, for heaven's sake. Nothing else for you.
Mummy, would you mind if I ate my supper in the dining room so I could read my book?
I would mind. Supper is a family gathering, and no one leaves the table till it's over.
But we're not at the table. We never are. We're always eating off our knees and watching telly.
And what's wrong with watching telly, may I ask?
Just ignore her, Harry. Oh, she's definitely the weakest link. Oh, look at the state of her.
Now, Matilda knows it is wrong to hate her parents, but she is finding it hard not to. She resents being told constantly that she's stupid when she knows she isn't.
I can feel the anger boiling up inside me.
It's time to get your own back, Matilda. Teach them a lesson.
But I'm only 5.
Don't let that hold you back.
I don't know how to.
Go on. Trust yourself. Give it a go.
Do you think I could?
I know you could.
Okay, I'll try. And the first one who's going to get it is Daddy.
And so, the very next morning, Matilda gets hold of the hat that her father wears each day to work. She has to stand on her tippy toes and reach up as high as she can with her walking stick in order to hook the hat off the peg.
Got it.
Matilda proceeds to squeeze a line of superglue very neatly all around the rim of the hat. An ugly, flat pork pie jobby with a jay's feather sticking out the side. Then she carefully hooks the hat back onto the peg with the walking stick.
You off to work, Daddy?
Get out of my way, Pipsqueak. I should be late.
And on with the hat. Very nice, thank you.
What's up with you?
Nothing, Daddy.
Oh, morning, Mr. Wormwood. Is everything all right?
Fine, absolutely fine. Great, tickety-boo.
Can you not get your hat off?
My hat? No, I'm wearing my hat. I want to wear my hat. There's a nasty draught in here.
I'm boiling.
You can lose all your body heat through your head. Dangerous business. Now, how are you getting on with the Mazda?
I've changed the number plate and I'm going to spray her a nice gold colour. No one will be any the wiser.
Very good, yeah, very good.
Are you sure you don't want to take your hat off, Mr. Wormwood?
No. I think it gives me the look of George Clooney, don't you? Now, get to work, Nobby. We need to sell this one on fast. Can't let a stolen vehicle hang around. Come on, chop, chop. Get it off. Me hat. All day I've had to wear it. I look like a ripe pranny.
Don't be ridiculous. Come here.
Oh, what are you doing to me, woman? You'll take half the skin off me forehead.
What's the matter, Daddy? Has your head swollen or something?
What did you say, my girl?
It must be super glue.
I haven't touched the flaming stuff. Do you think I'm so stupid I glue this thing to my head on purpose? And what are you staring at, young lady?
There's a boy down the road got some super glue on his finger without knowing it. Then he put his finger up his nose and he had it there for a week. Everyone kept saying, stop picking your nose. But he couldn't do anything about it.
That's enough filthy talk from you, young lady.
Oh, what am I going to do? I can't sleep in it. I can't have a shower in it. I'll never get it off. They'll have to bury me in it.
There's nothing for it. I'll have to cut it off. Here we go. This won't hurt a bit.
Ah, what are you doing? Leave me alone. You got a garden bringing shears there.
Yeah, just hold still. Harry, or I shall cut your ear off.
What are you doing? That hat cost me good money. Ow! That's my blinking ear you're cutting off now, woman.
Stop fussing.
You're scalping me. Get off.
It's stuck so fast. The hair's got to come off too. Oh, dear. Oh, I can't get these bits of leather off the front of your head.
Well, scrape them off. Put some elbow grease into it, woman.
What do you think I'm doing?
Ow! You're trying to give me a frontal lobotomy or what?
Don't be such a baby. No, it's no good. I'll have to get the Brillo pad out.
You look like a monk, Daddy.
Monk? I'll give you monk. Oh!
That's more like it. Oh, yeah. It's all coming off now. Quite satisfying, really.
You're cutting my face to ribbons. It really, really hurts. I need a general anaesthetic. Oh, my good Lord, I'm bleeding. That's real live blood.
Shush with your nonsense. All done. Well, certainly a look.
It quite suits you, Daddy.
Just keep your nasty mouth shut, will you?
Yes, Daddy.
So, all in all, a satisfactory result, wouldn't you say?
I would say.
Daddy Wormwood is suitably chastened. That should keep him quiet for a little while.
Until the next time.
Which, of course, was not long in coming.
Don't you ever stop reading?
Hello, Daddy. Did you have a good day at work?
What is this trash?
It's not trash, Daddy. It's called Les Miserables by Victor Hugo. He's a French writer.
A frog? Well, it's certain to be filth. Doesn't belong in the house. Les Miserables. Well, he'll be a damn sight more miserable when I've finished with him.
No, Daddy, please! It's a library book! Stop it! I have to take it back to Mrs. Phelps.
Ah, I'm fed up with all this reading. Go and find yourself something useful to do.
He just ripped up your book, Matilda. Why are you not crying?
Because I'm thinking. I'm hatching a plan.
That's my girl. You know the only sensible thing to do when you're attacked is to counterattack.
I have to go out.
Where to?
To see my friend Fred. He has a parrot.
A parrot?
Exactly. The parrot is all part of my plan.
Intriguing. I can't wait.
Amazing, Fred. What else can it say?
Rattle my bones. Rattle my bones.
That's about it. Hello and rattle my bones. But it's pretty marvellous, don't you think?
Hello, hello, hello.
Fabulous. Will you lend him to me for one night?
Certainly not.
I'll give you all my next week's pocket money.
Deal.
Can I help you with that cage?
I can manage.
What are you going to do with the parrot, Matilda?
I'm putting him up the chimney.
Come on! You've got to fit!
You see, this is an instance of Matilda's lateral thinking. She's always got something up her sleeve.
Shut up, you nut!
What next?
You must wait till later.
I've got a better idea. Let's just fast forward to later. Dinner time.
Butterscotch delight. My favourite. But, Harry? Did you hear that?
What?
I heard something.
Shh. Listen.
You're all balmy.
Oh, switch the telly off, Harry. There's someone in the house. There it is! It's burglars. Oh, they're in the dining room.
Oh, Daddy, save us.
Go and catch them, Harry.
Me?
Go and collar them red-handed. Get on with it. They're probably after the silver.
Why don't we all go and look together?
Come on, then. Come on, Mum. I'll grab that poker for me, Michael.
I need a weapon, too.
There, you can use your golf club in the hall.
I've got my fork.
I shall fight him with my bare hands. Let's go.
We've caught you red-handed. Stick them up.
There's no one here.
It must be Harry. I heard him with my own ears.
Maybe he's behind the curtains.
See? There's nothing there.
What's on my bag?
Help.
What's on my bag?
Did you hear that?
Oh, my word. It's a ghost.
Oh, heaven help us.
I know it's a ghost. I've heard it before. This room is haunted.
Oh.
Bless us and save us.
Don't know about you, but I'm getting out of here.
Genius. Sheer genius. Didn't I tell you?
Thank you. And no animals were harmed in the process.
The forwardness of your thinking. And then a child who has not yet started school.
I can't wait to start school. My parents forgot to make the proper arrangements, so I must wait till I'm 5 and a half.
Well, then let us fast forward to school.
I have to return the parrot to Fred first.
I can wait.
Could you?
For you, Matilda, anything. But I warn you, you shan't like it. School, I mean.
No, I shall love it.
Poor Matilda, so full of hope, so eager to learn. If only I could find another school for you. But no. Cruncham Hall Primary School it must be. It's not so much the school itself which is the problem. It is the head teacher, Miss Trunchbull. No, no, Miss Trunchbull. I'm not ready for you. Desist. Leave it, I said, woman. We can return to Miss Trunchbull, but I warn you, we must steel ourselves. Let us turn our attention instead to Miss Honey.
Miss Honey!
Ah, that's more like it. To know her is to love her.
Good morning, Miss Honey.
Good morning, children.
Miss Honey is a mild and quiet person. No more than 23 or 24. She is, it is true, seldom seen to smile, but there is no doubt that she is possessed of that rare gift. She is adored by every small child under her care. And she is, how it gladdens my heart to say it, Matilda's form teacher. Oh, come in if you must. Here, ladies and gentlemen, is the gigantic holy terror that is Miss Trunchbull. And she is, how it saddens my heart to say it, Matilda's headmistress.
Miss Trunchbull.
Miss Trunchbull is a fierce, tyrannical monster who frightens the life out of teachers and pupils alike. Miss Trunchbull never walks. She marches like a stormtrooper down the corridors. You can hear her snorting as she comes. If a group of children happen to be in her path, She ploughs through them like a tank.
Get out of my way, stinkers!
It's all right. She's going. That was close.
But more of that later. Let us return to Miss Honey and her first encounter with Matilda.
Now, this is the very first day of school for each of you. Let me begin, for your own good, by telling you something about our headmistress, Miss Trunchbull. She insists upon strict discipline in the school. Never argue with her. Never answer her back. If you get on the wrong side of Miss Trunchbull, she can liquidise you like a carrot in a blender. It's nothing to laugh about, Lavender. Miss Trunchbull deals very severely with anyone who gets out of line in this school. Have you got the message?
Yes, Miss Honey.
For myself, I want you to learn as much as possible in my class. There is nothing better in the world than learning. But it will also help you when Miss Trunchbull comes to visit. For example, by the end of this week, I hope you know your 2x table by heart. Now, do any of you happen to have learned this already?
Yes, Miss Honey.
Wonderful. Matilda, is it? Please stand up and recite as much as you can.
1 2 is 2, 2 2s are 4, 3 2s are 6.
Now, you probably know Matilda well enough to know that she didn't stop at 12.
14 2s are 28, 15 2s are 30.
Wait, child. How far can you go?
Quite far, I think.
2 times 28?
56.
2 times 487?
974.
Oh, my. That is splendid, Matilda. Do you know any of your other multiplication tables?
Yes, miss.
Do you know up to your 12 times table?
Yes, Miss Honey.
What are 12 sevens?
84.
Well, class, Matilda is a very lucky girl. She has wonderful parents who have already taught her to multiply lots of numbers.
Oh, no, Miss Honey. I taught myself.
How could you do that, Matilda?
I'm not really sure.
What is 14 multiplied by 19?
266.
Goodness gracious me. You're right. But how do you do it?
I simply put the 14 down and multiply it by 19.
Wonder of wonders.
It's not fair. How can she do it and we can't?
Oh, don't worry, Lavender. You'll soon catch up. Now, I'm wondering, Matilda, what else you can do?
Well, I can read most things.
I see. Well, here is a book of humorous poetry. See if you can read this poem aloud for me.
An epicure dining at Crewe found a rather large mouse in his stew. Cried the waiter, "Don't shout and wave it about, or the rest will be wanting one too."
Do you know what an epicure is, Matilda?
It is someone who is dainty with eating.
That is correct. And do you happen to know what that particular type of poem is called?
A limerick. I love limericks. I have tried to write my own, but mine are never any good.
Well, limericks are notoriously hard to write.
I have one in my head right now, Miss Honey. Would you like to hear it?
Yes, Matilda.
It's about you, except I couldn't think of many things to rhyme with honey, so I've taken the liberty of using your first name. I hope you don't mind.
Not at all. Stand up and recite it, Matilda.
The thing we all ask about Jenny is surely there cannot be many young girls in the place with so lovely a face. The answer to that is not any. Oh, Miss Honey, I haven't upset you, have I?
No, not at all. Although it is not true, it is a very good limerick. Who taught you to read, child?
I taught myself, although Mrs. Phelps at the library has helped me to choose the books. I'd read all the children's section, you see, so I had to move on to the grown-up novels.
I see. And who is your favourite author?
Charles Dickens, especially Mr. Pickwick.
Well, I never. Class, you are dismissed.
Thank you, Miss Honey.
No, thank you, Matilda. Miss Trunchbull?
noises, is it? Oh, mind out, woman! Target practice! That damn nearly got you in the eye.
I'm sorry to disturb you.
Well, show yourself, honey. What is it you want? You're looking very flushed and flustered this morning. What's the matter with you? Have those little stinkers been flicking spitballs at you?
No, headmistress, nothing like that.
Ah, bullseye! Ah, raging thirst. Well then, what is it? Get on with it. I'm a busy woman.
There is a little girl in my class called Matilda Wormwood.
Ah, daughter of the man who owns Wormwood Motors in Village. Excellent fellow, Wormwood. I was in there only yesterday. He sold me a car. Almost new. Yes, only done 10,000 miles, one careful lady owner. A terrific bargain. Yes, I like Wormwood. Real pillar of our society. He told me the daughter was a bad lot, though. He said to watch her. He said if anything bad ever happened in the school, it was certain to be his daughter who did it. I haven't met the little brat yet, but she'll know about it when I do. Her father says she's a real wart.
Oh, no, headmistress, that can't be right.
Oh, yes, Miss Honey. Darn well is right. In fact, now I come to think of it, I'll bet it was she who put that stink bomb under my desk first thing this morning. Place stank like a sewer. What's she look like? Nasty little worm, I'll be bound.
No, she's a sweet...
I have discovered, Miss Honey, during my long career as a teacher, that a bad girl is a far more dangerous creature than a bad boy. What's more, they're much harder to squash. Squashing a bad girl is like trying to squash a blue bottle. You bang down on it and the darn thing isn't there. Nasty, dirty little things little girls are. Glad I was never one.
Oh, but you must have been a little girl once, headmistress. Surely you were.
Not for long, anyway.
OK, I'll pause it there for a mo. Are you getting the idea with Miss Trunchbull, folks? Off her rocker, balmy as a bedbug. But on this occasion, Miss Honey is not going to be browbeaten. Cue the applause.
I must tell you, headmistress, that you are completely mistaken about Matilda putting a stink bomb under your desk.
Well said, Miss Honey.
I am never mistaken, Miss Honey!
But, headmistress, the child only arrived in school this morning and came straight to the classroom. And... oh, Miss Trunchbull!
Double top! Don't argue with me, for heaven's sake, woman! This little brute Matilda, or whatever her name is, has stink-bombed my study. There is no doubt about it. Thank you for suggesting it.
But I didn't suggest it.
Of course you did. Now, what is it you want, Miss Honey? Why are you wasting my time?
I came to talk to you about Matilda, headmistress.
That's it, girl. Stick to your guns.
I have extraordinary things to report about the child. May I please tell you what happened in class just now?
I suppose she set fire to your skirt and scorched your knickers.
No, no. Matilda is a genius.
A genius? What piffle is this you are talking, madam? You must be out of your mind. I have her father's word for it that the child's a gangster.
The father is wrong.
Don't be a twerp. You have met the little beast for only half an hour and her father has known the girl all her life.
But she can read.
So can I.
It is my opinion that Matilda should be taken out of my form and placed immediately in the top form with the 11-year-old.
Ah, can't handle her, can you? Want to palm her off on another teacher?
No.
Not another word. I can see right through your plot, madam. Great Scott, I'm not having some little 5-year-old brigand sitting with the senior girls and boys in the top form. Who ever heard of such a thing?
Very well. It's up to you, headmistress.
Off you go. Go on.
Don't be disheartened. You did your best, Miss Honey.
I'm going to do something for this child.
That's the spirit.
I don't know what it will be, but I shall find a way to help her in the end. Matilda, will you stay behind a moment?
What is it, Miss Honey?
There is no point in you sitting in class doing nothing while I'm teaching the rest of the form their 2x table.
I don't mind, Miss Honey.
Well, I mind. I've decided that during each lesson, I shall give you one of these textbooks to study. At the end of the lesson, you can come up to me with your questions, if you have any, and I shall try to help you. How does that sound?
That sounds good.
I'm sure we'll be able to get you moved into a much higher form later on, but for the moment, the headmistress wishes you to stay where you are.
Thank you so much, Miss Honey.
What a nice child she is. Her father is mistaken about her.
What will you do about her, Miss Honey?
I can't believe her parents are unaware of her talents.
believe it.
But Mr. Wormwood is a successful motor car dealer. He must be a fairly intelligent man.
No comment.
Parents don't usually underestimate their offspring. Quite the reverse.
Tell me about it. The parents are the last ones to realise that their child is a complete and utter nitwit.
Surely the Wormwoods would welcome the news that their child is very special.
I wouldn't count on it.
I think I shall call on the Wormwoods. This evening. Yes.
Good luck. Don't say I didn't warn you.
Yes? If you're selling raffle tickets, I don't want any.
I'm not... No, I'm Matilda's teacher at school, and it is important that I have a word with you and your wife.
Got into trouble already, has she? Well, she's your responsibility from now on. You'll have to deal with her.
She's not in any trouble. I've come with great news about her. Quite startling news. If I might come in.
Well, this is very inconvenient. We're right in the middle of watching one of our favourite programmes. Can you come back another time?
Mr. Wormwood, if you think some rotten TV programme is more important than your daughter's future, then you ought not to be a parent. Why don't you switch the damn thing off and listen to me?
Oh, very well, then. Let's get it over with.
Who is it, Harry?
Some schoolmarm. About Matilda.
Don't do that, Harry. Ainsley's about to blow Torch's brulee.
Yeah, you can watch it with a sound down.
Mrs. Wormwood, I'm Jennifer Honey. This was your daughter's first day at school.
Is that all you come to tell us?
I wanted to ask you, did either of you teach Matilda to read?
Certainly not.
We don't hold with book reading. You can't make a living from sitting on your fanny and reading storybooks. We don't keep them in the house.
I see. Well, I've come to tell you that your daughter has a brilliant mind.
Matilda?
Did you have any idea?
She spends her life in her bedroom, buried in some silly book.
But she is 5 years old. To be reading Dickens and Hemingway, she is remarkable.
I am not in favour of clever, clever girls. A girl should think about making herself look attractive so she can get a good husband later on. Looks is more important than books, Miss Hunky.
Honey.
Look at me and look at you. You chose books. I chose looks.
I'm sorry.
I'm sitting pretty in a nice house with a successful businessman and you're left slaving away teaching a lot of nasty children the ABC.
Quite right, Sugar Plum.
I haven't told you all of it. Matilda, so far as I can gather, is also a mathematical genius.
A girl doesn't get a man by being brainy.
What I'm trying to say is that Matilda is so far ahead of everyone else in her class that it might be worth thinking about some private tuition for her. I seriously believe that she could be at university standard in a few years.
University? Who on earth wants to go to university? All I learn there is bad habits.
That is not true. If you had a heart attack this minute, you would want a doctor. If you got sued for selling someone a rotten second-hand car, you would want a lawyer. Both of these are university graduates.
How dare you suggest that there is anything illegal about my
business?
Do not
despise clever people, Mr. Wormwood. But I can see you are not going to agree.
I'll show you out, Miss Hanky. Or is it, Chunk?
It is neither, but let it go.
Well, things are looking pretty grim for Matilda. So let's give her a friend.
Can I be her friend? I like Lavender. She's gutsy and adventurous. I like Matilda. She is those things she said too.
There we go. Job done. Matilda needs a friend at this point, because things are about to get distinctly hairy in the playground. But first of all, let me introduce Hortensia. Hortensia is a rugged 10-year-old with a boil on her nose and a penchant for potato crisps.
Oi, you two, scum.
Are you talking to us?
Welcome to Borstal. You met the Trunchbull?
We've seen her at prayers, but she hasn't come into our classroom yet.
You've got a treat in store. She hates very small children. She thinks 5-year-olds are grubs that haven't hatched out yet. If you survive your first year, you may just manage to live through the rest of your time here. But many don't survive. They get carried out on stretchers screaming. Criff?
No, thank you.
I suppose you know the Trunchbull has a lock-up cupboard in her private quarters called the Chokey. It's 10 inches square, so you can't sit down in it. And 3 of the walls are made of cement with glass sticking out of it, so you can't lean on them.
Have you ever been in there?
6 times.
Why?
Once I poured half a tin of golden syrup on Chunchbull's seat at prayers. When she sat down on it, there was a large squelching noise like a hippopotamus lowering its foot into the mud of the Limpopo River. Another time, I put itching powder in her gym knickers. You should have seen her scratching. She must have thought she had a wasp's nest down there.
You're very brave.
It's war. It's us against the Trunchbull. She's the Prince of Darkness. It's a tough life. You have to support each other.
You can rely on us.
No, I can't. You're just shrimps. But I may find a use for you one day in some undercover job.
We may be small, but we're quite tough.
You don't know what you're dealing with. Only yesterday, the Trunchbull caught a boy called Julius Rotwinkle eating licorice all sorts during the scripture lesson.
What did she do?
You don't want to know.
Yes, we do. Flashback, please.
Rotwinkle!
I'm sorry, Miss Trunchbull. Forgive me.
Grovelling won't help. Come here! From now on, anyone caught eating goes straight out the window.
You should know the Trunchbull once threw the hammer for Britain in the Olympics. The Trunchbull will throw anything around just to keep her arm in. Especially children.
Good heavens!
Aye, aye, hold on to your hats.
Amanda Thripp! Thripp! Come here!
Who's Amanda Thripp?
The one with the pigtails. Idiot. If there's one thing Trunchbull can't stand, it's pigtails.
Yes, Miss Trunchbull?
I want those filthy pigtails off before you come back to school tomorrow. You understand?
My mummy likes them. She plucks them for me every morning.
Your mummy's a twit. You look like a rat with a tail coming out of its head.
My mummy thinks I look lovely, Miss Trunchbull.
I don't give a tinker's toot.
What your mummy thinks? Come here.
Oh, that's gotta hurt. She's getting up speed now, just like she does with the hammer. 10 to 1, she's gonna throw her. Yep, told you. Well thrown, sir.
Thank you very much.
Is she dead?
Just dazed.
Look, she's getting up.
Yeah, she's used to it.
Not bad, considering I'm not in strict training.
But why don't the parents complain?
They're as scared of her as we are. I'm off. See you two shrimps around.
Goodbye, Hortensia. How could she get away with it? The Trunchbull. My daddy would kick up a terrific stink if the headmistress grabbed me by the hair and slung me over the playground fence. No, he wouldn't. And I'll tell you why. He simply wouldn't believe you. Of course he would. He wouldn't. And the reason is obvious. Your story would sound too ridiculous to be believed. And that is the Trunchbull's great secret. What is? Never do anything by halves if you want to get away with it. Take it from me. No parent is going to believe this pigtail story. Not in a million years. Mine wouldn't. They'd call me a liar. Do you think she's mad? The Trunchbull. No, I don't think she's mad. But she's very, very dangerous.
So you're getting the measure of the Trunchbull, are you? She is squaring up to be Matilda's greatest adversary. But our Matilda is not ready to face her. Not yet. For now, she must watch and learn. Gather her strength. She must know her opponent inside and out. Fast forward to the very next day. Assembly. 250 boys and girls captive in the school hall. Enter Miss Trunchbull, carrying a riding crop.
Hell's bells. She looks cross.
Where is Bruce Bogtrotter? Come up here, boy, and look smart about it. This clot, this blackhead, this foul carbuncle, this poisonous pustule that you see before you is a disgusting criminal.
Who, me?
A thief, a crook, a pirate, a brigand, a rustler.
Is she talking to me?
Did you or did you not, you suppurating little blister, you? Sneak like a serpent into the kitchen and steal a slice of my own personal private chocolate cake from my tea tray.
I never did.
Don't lie to me, bog trotter. The cook saw you.
Ah.
That was not boy's cake. That was my cake. You like my special chocolate cake, don't you, bog trotter? It's rich and delicious, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Tell the cook what you think of her cake. Cook, where are you?
Here I am.
In the interest of accuracy, you should know that the cook is a tall, shriveled female who looks as though all of her body juices have been dried out of her in a hot oven.
Charming.
Tell cook what you think of her chocolate cake, bog trotter.
Very good.
Oh.
Bog trotter likes your cake, cook. He adores your cake. Do you happen to have any more of that cake you could give him?
Here's one I prepared earlier.
There you are, bog trotter. An extra big chocolate cake. All for you. Every last bit of it.
What?
Eat it.
What now? Can't I take it home instead?
That would be impolite. You must show Cookie here how grateful you are for all the trouble she's taken. Come on, cut a slice and taste it.
Very nice.
Have another bit.
I've had enough, thank you.
Do as you're told! Eat! You wanted cake. You stole cake. Now you've got cake. What's more, you're going to eat it. You do not leave this stage, and nobody leaves this hall until you have eaten the entire cake. Do I make myself clear? Bog trotter. Eat. Eat. Eat!
Do you think he can do it? No way, he'll be sick. It's rather dry.
The cheek of it. My cakes are never dry.
Eat faster, boy. Eat. Don't stop or straight to the chokey with you.
That's it. He's had it.
No. No, look. He's taking another piece.
He looks a bit green, doesn't he?
He's going to throw up.
No, he's not. He's okay.
I'm okay. Give me another slice.
Coming up.
I don't believe it.
That's his fourth slice.
He's getting into a stride.
Silence! Carry on, boy.
He's my hero.
He's eating for England.
He's eating for us.
And so, bravely on and on, chews Bruce Bogtrotter. Chew, swallow, chew, swallow. His mouth is dry. He's slowing down, but he does not stop. The children watch in growing amazement. Take your time, Brucey boy. That's it.
Oh, my goodness. I think he's going to make it.
Come on, Brucey. You can do it.
Be quiet, boy, or you're next. All of you. None of you will get off scot-free.
Look at the trench ball. She's turning purple. I think she'll kill him if he wins.
Bruce! Stop it! What's this? Anarchy? I will not have anarchy! Not in my school! Stop it at once!
Go on, Brucey! Polish it up! That's the last slice. He's done it. He's eaten a lot.
Luminora!
Yeah! Stop it! All of you! Be quiet, you!
Oh, my goodness! She's got the plate!
She's going to smash it on his head!
I'm all right. I'm fine. Thumbs up.
Yay! Yay!
I will not have this! This is...
And so, with the help of Bruce Bogtrotter and his extraordinary stomach capacity, our Matilda has learnt a valuable lesson. The Trunchbull is not invincible.
Pipe down, class.
That's it. You should know that it is the headmistress's custom to take over the class for one period each week. She does this with every class in the school, on a fixed day and a fixed time. Ours is always 2 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon.
But that's tomorrow.
Yes, Lavender. That's right. Miss Trunchbull is coming tomorrow.
And we must be ready for her.
Yes, Matilda. That's right. You must be ready for her.
In Matilda by Roald Dahl, dramatised by Charlotte Jones and narrated by Lenny Henry, Matilda was played by Lauren Mote, Mr. Wormwood by John Biggins, Mrs. Wormwood by Claire Rushbrook, and Miss Trunchbull by Nicola McAuliffe. Miss Honey was played by Emerald O'Hanrahan, Mrs. Phelps by Kate Layden, Nobby by Rhys Jennings, Michael by Ryan Watson, and Lavender by Sinead Michael. Hortensia was played by Lizzie Watts, Bruce Bogtrotter by Joshua Swinney, and Matilda's class was recorded at Coptall School, North London. The director was Claire Grove.